The Friday Sports Huddle with New Zealand Sotheby's International Realty, delivering premium results.
We're not taking it for granted. We've been, you know, on the bones of our asses a few years ago, and we're just rebuilding, reconnecting. We just want to be part of the New Zealand community and make them proud, and we do that by winning and being good people.
We understand that we're going to be stronger together to compete against these other sports, such as women's football. So I think it's imperative that we work together on strengthening the relationship and getting this off the ground.
You know, you look at Te Rerotai and you go, what can you do to that to make it faster? But the wizardry of these engineers is such that it just goes faster and faster.
On the Sports Huddle, I got Jim Kays, sports journalist, and Clay Wilson, News Talk ZB Sport News Director. Hello, you two.
G'day, Heather.
G'day.
All right, Clay, do you reckon the James Fisher-Harris signing is the best signing in Warriors history?
I think it is. And these things are always subjective, right? Everyone looks at things through a different lens. But for several reasons, he's a gun player, the golden boot, world player of the year, reigning world player of the year, coming from the team that's won the last three premierships, and he's filling a huge hole, a hole that we didn't think we could fill in Edin Funua-Blake, who's leaving after this season, and he's the Kiwis captain. When you put all those things together, to me, that makes it the biggest we've had. You mean, you look at Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, both times he came, when Sean Johnson came back, remember how big a deal that was? But for me, when this happened on Wednesday, the sports team in the newsroom here came to a standstill. It was that bigger bombshell.
Did you gasp watching
Absolutely.
The screen? Did you?
Yeah, jaws hit the desks, definitely.
How'd they keep it a secret, Jim? Jim, how'd they keep it a secret?
Well, I think it's all happened quite quickly. Listening to Adam Blair the other day, and it seems like it's Fisher that's Fisher Harrison's brought himself to the Warriors' attention. Which would add to what Clay's saying about it being the biggest signing. Certainly, it seems that the Warriors are a fantastically attractive club at the moment, and why wouldn't they be? They're playing exciting footy, they're playing to packed houses, and they're winning games. So I think when you add all of that into the mix, it makes for a very exciting signing, doesn't it? No. It's great for the Warriors.
Do you reckon, Clay, that others may be attracted to the Warriors because he's made the jump?
I think that's one of the big signs out of this, right, is that a player like that, while he wanted to come home, clearly that's the biggest part of this.
But he will attract others, eh?
He will attract others. He wanted to come home because the team's good. And now that he's here and the team's good, you're going to likely attract, you know, not just good Kiwi players, but maybe even some Australian players that wouldn't have come in the past. They see, hey, here's James Fisher-Harris coming. Man, I want to be part of that as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
And retain as well, surely. Sean Johnson will hang around for at least another season. He's fit, he's in great form, and now this, I can't see him leaving the club anytime soon.
Jim, Phil Gould wants the Golden Point scrapped. I love the Golden Point. What do you reckon?
He's an old whinger, isn't he? He loves to have a moan about something, Phil Gould. Look, I'm with you, Heather. I think it adds to the drama.
Yeah.
It creates, you know, a real spectacle when teams are in Golden Point. We saw that with the Warriors just the other week. So, look, he's got to have something to whinge about. I think he's just having a whinge again here and, you know, move on. The Golden Point's great fun.
I reckon the Golden Point adds to it, Clay. I reckon it's one of those things that makes it better than rugby union.
I'm usually a traditionalist when it comes to these things, like a purist of sport, but I like Golden Point.
Yeah.
I think the problem was the two games we had last weekend, the Warriors game and then the Titans game as well. It was this scenario where you felt like the team that was ahead got unlucky and, you know, that perhaps they should have just at least got a point out of it.
Yeah.
But I think most of the time, the majority of the time, it turns out to be a good thing. You're getting towards the end of the game, you're going, well, you can kick a field goal or you can kick a penalty, score a try.
This is how much of a bandwagoner I am for the Warriors. I didn't even know that the rule existed. And so when they were like, oh, now it's Golden Point, I was like, what is this?
And you were extra surprised. You were like, wow, this is amazing.
It's like, yeah.
That's the point, isn't it? It adds to the entertainment. And sport is firmly entertainment. And you were entertained, Heather. And people get entertained by the drama of a Golden Point. So. I don't know what the downside to it is.
No, I was so entertained. Hey, Jim, do you reckon it's an insult to women to give them a smaller rugby ball, or is it just common sense?
Oh, you're asking two blokes to talk about the same.
This is a safe space. This is a safe space.
Beautifully done. Look, there's a couple of things I'll say. There's plenty of sports that have different equipment for the two sexes. You know, basketball has a smaller ball. In amateur golf, they've got ladies' tees. In cricket, they bring the boundary rope in a bit and the ball's a bit lighter and all of those sorts of things. The only thing I'd say here is where's the demand for this coming from? Because it doesn't seem to be coming from the female player. So that's kind of interesting. It seems to be coming from World Rugby who are pushing for this to happen. Yeah. If it's a player-driven thing and it adds to women and girls wanting to play the game, absolutely fantastic, and I totally support it. If it's not really being driven by the athlete, I kind of question why World Rugby is foisting this upon them. But if it makes for the game to be easier to play, more attractive to play to girls and to women, and easier to play for them, again, I don't see a downside to it. But, hey, we really should be asking the female player, yeah, not anyone else.
Do you reckon, Clay, though, that the women will want to? I mean, would they want to go out there and go, hey, guys, we need a smaller ball?
Oh, I don't know. I think it's one of these things that they're trialling it, right? And you've got to trial it to see if it works. And yes, the players need to have a big say in this, but sometimes not you don't always know what's best for you, right? Like, maybe the players think it's not what they want to do, but then they try it
and it's
awesome. The game's better. And to me, a game that is more attractive as an entertainment product is not only more fun for them to play, but that's got to be better for women's rugby, yeah, women's sport as a whole, right? They're trying to continue to grow the game. If it's better to watch, the players are having more fun. But, I mean, obviously, you just got to trial it and see what happens. But it seems to me that from what they've done so far, that it is helping the game. So it'll be interesting to see where
they
take it.
Not a bad idea. Okay, listen, Clay, tell me what you think of this, okay? Have we got enough netball players in this country for three sides in the Aussie netball comp, or do we only get two?
I like what Lisa Alexander said about having two teams, just so you get extra strength in whatever the New Zealand domestic competition becomes, right? I think there's merit in that.
So you're not sucking all the players out?
No, so the some of those top-tier players that don't quite make those two New Zealand teams filter down into whatever that New Zealand domestic competition, yeah, becomes, right? And then that doesn't lose as much of its luster.
Yep.
It stays strong. It's more attractive for sponsors and broadcasters here as well, still, rather than becoming, you know, a really watered-down competition, a version of what it is now. So I think there's merit in that, but it seems, I mean, she's very keen. The Aussies have every reason to be keen. And, I mean, I've always been an advocate for having our best players playing in the best competition in the world. She was saying exactly the same thing. So they're obviously talking. How far it goes,
what do you reckon, Jim?
I think give three a crack. Look, I know that we're critical of the Aussies in terms of, you know, say Super Rugby when they went too big and have too many teams. But from a New Zealand netball perspective, the more players that they can have playing against the Aussies, the better. I think there will be the depth there, and I think it's got to be done for A, we've got to have some teams in the Aussie competition, because that's key, really, to the success of the sport, to the livelihood and the mere existence of the sport, really, if we're not being too dramatic going forward. And I don't say that too lightly, really. And if they can get three teams in there and they can foot it with the Aussies, then definitely. Yep. Maybe they say, hey, two initially, and let's see how we go in one in the future. But I would be pushing, if I was Netball New Zealand, I'd be pushing for three.
Yeah,
pushing.
That's a nice way of doing it. You start with two and then go to three. Guys, it's good to talk to the pair of you. Really appreciate it. Clay Wilson, Jim Kays, our Sports Huddles.
For more from Heather Duplessy-Allen Drive, listen live to News Talk ZB from 4 p.m. weekdays, or follow the podcast on iHeartRadio.